Today we begin Perek Yud Zayin. Toiv Yud Zayin. Perek Yud Zayin. Toiv Pas Chareva V'Shalva Bo Mibayis Molei Zivchere. We had this possibly in the last Perek. Yes, I think very soon in the last Perek. It is better to eat Pas Chareva, dry bread, and that is accompanied to peace, v'shalva bo, but it's peaceful, there is no dispute, mibayis mole, that's much better, preferred than living in a house that's mole, that's filled, the shelves are stocked, zivche riv, with sacrifices. In this context it means blessing or goods, riv, that have come about through contention, through quarreling. Let's take a look at the mitzudos one thing at a time. Pasuk Aleph, Toiv Yoiser Toiv Lechol Pas Chareva B'Shalvati. Dry bread or stale bread, it's hard. Chorev, it's dry, means it's stale. B'Shalva, in peace. Mishayiyah Leimolei Habayis Basar Zavuach. Better than living in a home that's filled with meat. Meat that has been slaughtered. So here when it says Zevach, Zivchei Riv means meat. Beriv Ukutad has come about through quarreling and through disagreement and contention and so on and so forth. Rashi Pasukav Toiv Pas Chareva V'Shalva Bo Toiv Hoya LiHakadosh Baruch Hu LaHachriv Beisai V'Iroi V'Hoya B'Shalva May Averoi Sehen Shel Yishol. Then the quarrels of the Jewish people. So Rashi over here says, let's look at the next Rashi. Next Rashi Mibayis Mole. Zivchei Riv, Shayu Makriven, Zivchei Riv, Bebeis, so they will offer sacrifices of contention in his home. So Rashi here learns, Pas Chareva here refers to, it appears that he's taking on the word Charev of Choreif, of destruction. Better the Kodesh Baruch Hu destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and that way there will be peace. At least the Jewish people will not be fighting with one another. They'll struggle for survival, and when you struggle for survival, then all of a sudden there's Achdus. Achdus comes about when everyone has the same problem. Better then there be a Bayis Mal, the Beis HaMikdash be Mole, with sacrifices of contention. That's what we say in the beginning of Yeshaya. Lomoli Roiv Zivchechem Yemer Hashem. Why do I need me? Bikesh Zos Miyetchem Remos Chatzeroi. Why do I need all of your abundant sacrifices? It's nothing than a To'eva. These sacrifices that come through quarreling, through fighting, is an abomination to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
You mentioned something now, which is a finish, makes a lot of sense. That when everyone's in trouble, then there's
Achdus, yes. That's unfortunately... And that's a mitzias. No one has to say it.
There's no jealousy.
We all know the horror stories in the concentration camps. Didn't make a difference who you were. Everyone was the same. And unfortunately, when there's a tzara brings everyone together. And
a common enemy.
A common enemy. So that's what a tzara is. A tzara is a common enemy. Exactly. So unfortunately, Kol Shparuch, he wants that we should come together in Achdus. There should be Achdus when there's no tzaras. So Kol Shparuch, we should not need Chas V'Shalom to bring us together only through a tzara. And that's exactly what it says here in this pasuk. Pas Chareva. Rashi says Pas means V'Shalva Ba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is better than to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. I know Rashi is really eating quite a bit into the pasuk, because it doesn't say over here Pas Chareva means small amount of bread. Here it says Toiv Hoya HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaHachriv Beiso V'Iroi V'Hoya B'Shalva. Better that May Avei Roy Sehen the sin Shel Yisrael. So the Pas Chareva means, I guess, living in Galus where the Jewish people don't have much to offer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What can we do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Galus? Not much. In the Beis HaMikdash we can be in Kaim. Half the myths of the Torah will depend upon Eretz on the Beis HaMikdash. So there's we're very limited what we can do to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in times of Galus. That to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is considered Pas Chareva, better than have a Beis HaMikdash where there are quarrels and bickery and fighting. Okay, now there are a number of midrashim. First medrash is, I'll read you the exact words, medrash mishle. The medrash says, Omar Rebbe Yochanan Zo Eretz Yisrael. The Pas Chareva is Eretz, better to live. So a whole different twist in Rashi. Shafilu Oichel Odom Pas Vomelach Vidor Bisoicha Muftach Lo Shehu Ben Oilam Haba. Better than Nibayis Mole Zivchei Riv is Chutz Li'aretz. Why? Bivnei shimaleya chamosim ugzelos, living in chutz liyaris, even though you have babayis mole, there is robbery, there is theft, there is extortion. We are influenced by our surroundings. So this is an unbelievable techachas musar to why we are seeing having the shir here in Chutz Li'aretz, which all be in Eretz Yisrael. The most common excuse for not making aliyah, and this excuse goes back to the time of Ezra, when only 5% of the Jewish population decided to go and live in Eretz Yisrael. Some statisticians calculate that the same percentage of the Jewish people who return to Eretz Yisrael at the time of Ezra, relative to the Klal Yisrael, is the same who made Aliyah after the establishment of the state of Israel, and Klal Yisrael was severely rebuked for their lack of enthusiasm to make Aliyah during the time of Ezra. And if what is there for us to say when our generation, when it's so much easier relative to what it was then to go to Eretz Yisrael? What is the common excuse? The common excuse is parnasa. You can't make a parnasa in Eretz Yisrael. So this pasuk here is a very powerful musar to all of us. To all of us, what?
Well, it's a good excuse for those who love Riv.
Those who love Riv, okay.
That's why, you know,
let's not get carried away here. Okay, but the Pas Chareva means Parnasa, and it doesn't mean, it means a difficulty in Parnasa in Eretz Yisrael. If you'll be there, Shalva. But what's the Shalva Bo according to the Medrash? In Olam Haba. Because if you live in Eretz Yisrael, muftach lo shehu ben olam haba. Better than the bayis mole zivchei riv, that is chutz there. It's a very fascinating medrash. Okay, another beautiful medrash takes us to Parshas Balak. In Parshas Balak, Balak built 7 mizbachos. Why did he focus on the number 7? So I'll read you the medrash. Vayomer. This is a medrash in Bamidbar Rab and Parshas Balak, a standard medrash. Why did he build 7 mizbachos? Kneged shiva mizbachos shabanu shiva tzadikim. Very important idea. How many mizbachos were built by the tzadikim of the world from the time of creation until the time of the building of the Mishkan? The building of the Mishkan was the ultimate mizbeach. The mizbeach hanachoshes, all the kabanos. How many mizbachos were built? Exactly 7. 7 of significance. Starting with Adam Harishain. Adam, we have a tradition. It doesn't say that anywhere, I believe, in the Pasuk, that Adam built a mizbeach. It's a chazal. Adam built the mizbeach in the mizmakiv of a shor par, some type of unusual animal. He was makiv on the mizbeach. The next one was Hevel. It's the Ferish Apasek. Hevel Hevi Mibuchoyre Sinai Umichel Vehen. He brought, that was the next. The next one was Noach, Ferish Apasek. He came out of the Teva, he built the mizbeach, and that's why he brought in 7 pairs of kosher animals. Then comes Avraham. He built a mizbeach for a Yitzchak, to offer Yitzchak. Yitzchak built a mizbeach. Okay, it's in the Pasek somewhere, I don't know exactly where it is. And Yaakov built multiple mizbachos. Yaakov built what he's after 17 years, after learning for 14 years in Shein Vo'Ever, he built a mizbeach, the stone which he slept upon, the 12 stones turned into one, and he used that as his mizbeach to offer sacrifice. And then later, after he finished working for Lavan for 22 years, when he returned, he built a mizbeach on his way back to Yaakov Avinu. And who was the last of the 7? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he built the Mishkan. The Mishkan was the ultimate mizbeach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had great nachas, great satisfaction from these 7 mizbachos. Bilam therefore said, you know what? I'm going to build Vayomer Bilam El Balak B'neili Vozeh Shiva Mizbachos. That's why, that's the secret why Bilam demanded from Balak that he be supplied with enough material to build 7 Mizbachos. He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, what do you have nachas from? From your people, from the 7 Mizbachos that were built? I will outdo them. I will outdo them because I am a representative of the Umay Soilam. Klal Yisrael is the smallest is the Na'at Mikol Ha'anim. I, Bilam, was the Navi of the Ummah Solom. We have to understand Bilam was not just a representative of Moaf. Bilam represented, he was the world power, he represented the entire world. He was the Navi of the Ummah Solom. So he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I build these seven, I'm representing the entire world, and we have a lot more to offer you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, than this little teeny nation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, and Hashem, let me hold the whole thing over, it's very nice. Lomo Kibalta Es Elu. Why did you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, grant the request of the Jewish people until this point in time in history? Loi b'shvil avoida sha'avdu lefanecha. And that, because of the service, loy noso, because of the seven mizbachos building up to this point in time, loy noel l'cha shetei nevad mishiv umos. Don't you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be more pleasant, be more beautiful for you to offer sacrifices to represent the 70 nations of the world and not just this one little nation? Not from one little nation. And that's why he built the seven mizbachos. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered with this pasuk. Shocking. When you learn Bilam, who would ever imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he spoke to Bilam? I mean, this is all Midrashim. It's not really clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this pasuk. Does it mean this idea? Are we working backwards? Were we rewriting history and putting these words in Hashem's mouth? Okay, that's we had the discussion a number of times. But the Medrash at least says HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to Bilam with this pasuk. Toiv pas chareva. I prefer the pas chareva. What does that mean? So the Medrash elaborates, the mincha belula v'ashemen v'chareva. One of the four types of minachos is the chareva. There's the belulois, the rachos, the markeves, and there's the chareva. It's a dry mincha. It's just a mincha mingled in oil, v'chareva. The reason why it's called chareva is because you let the pan is flat, and you let the oil fall off the sides of the pan. So it's very dry. If you have a pan, you go and you take the flour and you soak the flour in the oil, and there's nowhere for the oil to escape, and there's nowhere for the oil to escape, then the mincha becomes very, it comes soft, like a cake. It's cake-like. But when there's no place for the oil to remain, the oil just falls off the side of the pan, then it's called chareva. And Hashem says, I enjoy the korbanos that are brought by my people, I even enjoy the chareva, the pas chareva, the mincha. Forget about the animal. The mincha, that's chareva, it's a rock, it's dry, it's hard, more than what you are trying to offer on behalf of the nations. Why is it called zivchei riv? Because the sacrifices that you're offering are an attempt to cause me to quarrel with my nation. The riv here is interpreted by the Medrash as meaning you're trying to bring about machlokes between me and my people, beini uvein Yisrael. Okay, so this is the gist of the Medrash. This goes on a little bit more, but I think that's enough for our purposes. Yeah. Oh, after they filled in the wells, also he made a bris with Avimelech. Mizbeach. He built a Mizbeach and he offered a Lepachat, a Lekei Pachat Yitzchak. Okay, very good. After the bris with Avimelech, right before the Akedah. Right before the Akedah. Different Avimelech. With Yitzchak. With Yitzchak, Atem Sinesimosi, you hate me, why are you coming over here to make peace with me? And they build a Mizbeach. Okay, very good. So that's the Mizbeach for Yitzchak. So this is a very beautiful Medrash. To summarize, we have here seven Mizbachos from the beginning of creation until the time of Moshe. Bilam tried to negate those seven mizbachos by himself building his own seven mizbachos and making a statement. Those seven mizbachos were only represented Klal Yisrael. All guided Adam, even though there was no Klal Yisrael until Moshe Rabbeinu, but they were all geared, they were all focused to bring about the Am HaNifchar. I represent the Ummah HaOlam, and my seven will negate those seven. Yeah?
Bilam was trying to impress Hashem with quantity. Really, it's quality that counts.
And that's exactly what Hashem responded with this pasuk, the Hascharevah, even the mincha that my people bring, the smallest nation, and the smallest carbon, the most insignificant carbon that they bring, is more precious to me, v'shalvaba, and it brings peace between me and them, is greater than the zvachim, the animals you bring that are an attempt to riv, to bring strife between me and my nation. Now there is another medrash. We mentioned this last time. We did the same similar pasuk last week. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not trouble Klal Yisrael with regard to korbanos. Hashem never wants from us very much. The only thing He taxed us is a machtzes shekel, not even a complete shekel, only a machtzes shekel. And for what? For HaKadosh Baruch Hu? No, lechaper al nafsho seichem. It's not even for Hashem's benefit, it is for our own benefit that we should achieve atonement. Unlike the taxes that are imposed by the Umos Olam, when you finish with one tax, they'll get you for another tax. And when they finish with that tax, they'll get you for another tax. And it's all to increase their wealth, not for the benefit of the citizens. This is the other mention we had before, and repeat over here as well. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Base. Eved maskil yimshol bevein nevish, ubesoich achim yachalik nachala. Beautiful Pasuk. A slave that is wise will rule over the foolish, the shameful child. There's, in the palace there, the king has a prince, and the prince is a fool. It is a foolish, shameful child engages in activity that is unbefitting, that is disgraceful for his father, the king. And the king also has in his presence a servant, a slave. And the slave is wise. Ultimately, that wise slave will rule, will dominate over the shameful child. At Kidei Kach, the Pasuk says, Ubesoich Achim Yachalik Nachala, he will one day even inherit a portion of the Malchus. Just like the children of the king inherit the Malchus, the slave will as well will inherit a portion as well. Pasuk Beis in the Mesudas, the ben ha'adam, the child of the master, who molei midivrei busha. Mevish means shameful, from the lashon of busha, a shameful child. This slave will one day inherit an inheritance. Ha'eved hazeh yikach chelek nachla, will take a portion besocho achim, amongst the brothers, ki'ilu ha'yechon mehem, as if the slave was one of the children. Okay, now we have a Rashi, Evan Maskil, al shehiskil, Nebuchadnezzar, lefsoya gimel pasius lechvoida shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, olo legedula, umoshel b'Yisrael, shechovishu maaseyem. Because Nebuchadnezzar took three steps forward. Now, where did Nebuchadnezzar take three steps forward? This really is not necessarily him, it was his grandfather. It was his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar took three steps, l'chvoida shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I actually forgot this.
Delivering a message, right?
Wait, who's delivering the message? Well, he told them to send like Biladon. That was the grandfather.
Right.
They sent a message, or that was Dachan Nebuchadnezzar, that they sent the message to Eretz Yisrael that you can rebuild the base. You can rebuild. I don't remember. It was a Koresh Nebuchadnezzar to rebuild the base Hamikdash, or to. And then he recognized what was the text of the letter.
The coincidence was when the time stood still.
Yeah. When Chizkiyahu. The time stood still for Chizkiyahu, so he sent a letter inquiring after his welfare. I don't remember. And they put the order first. And they first gave cover to the Melech Chizkiyahu before cover of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then when Nebuchadnezzar, he asked, what did it say in the letter? He asked his scribe, I sent you a letter to inquire after the welfare, I think it was Chizkiyahu, inquire after his welfare, and they read back to him the text that they said there should be honor to Chizkiyahu, the king of the Yerushalayim, the city of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was put at the end. He was put last. So he said, that's not their cheretz. Call back the messenger. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be mentioned in the beginning of the salutation, not at the end, not in the middle.
He took steps
to recall the messenger, that the text of the letter is not respectful towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem's name must appear in the beginning, not at the end. Similar to Malki Tzedek, Malki Tzedek Melech Shehotzi Lech V'Yayin, Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon. He put the covenant of Avram before the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nebuchadnezzar, he recognized the mistake was made, and he took three steps forward to recall the messenger, to reverse the order of honor. And in reward for that, it says that he was given the power to dominate over the Jewish people by destroying the Bayis Rishon. U'moshal b'Yisrael, shehivishu, the Jewish people are called over here the Mavish. What?
Three successors
until the Malchus of Bavel came to an end. Moshal Bishol Shoivishu Masem, who have made their, whose deeds are shameful. The Cholak Nachalosam Leinem, and he divided their inheritance in front of their eyes. So according to the first interpretation of Rashi, the Eved Maskil is Nebuchadnezzar. He had seichel. See, it's also very interesting to go back to last week's parsha, Parsha Vayechi, Sikel Es Yodov, Ki Menashe HaBuchar. Why did Yaakov Avinu, what was the seichel? Is that Ephraim comes before Menashe. Why? Because Ephraim represents the koyach of Torah, and Menashe represents the koyach of Gedula, and Torah comes before Gedula, even though they're both l'shem shemayim. That is called seichel, having your priorities in the right order. And here as well, Eved Maskil, he had his priorities in the right order. He recognized the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes before the kavod of man. And in that reward, Yimshol b'Bein Mevish, he was able to dominate over b'Bein Mevish, over Klal Yisrael, whose deeds were sinful towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u'b'soch achim yichalek nachla. And amongst the Achim, amongst Klal Yisrael, he separated Eretz Yisrael. He took away their inheritance. He took away and he exiled the Jewish people. Okay, second interpretation, Dabar Acher, Ger Tzadik Toiv Me'ezrach Rasha. Okay, a very shocking statement. A Ger Tzadik, a Ger who is righteous, is better than a citizen who is wicked. The Eved Maskil here means a person who until now was a slave, but ultimately became a Ger Tzedek, a full-fledged Ger. Then the Ben Nevish, who is not religious, Ula Asilavo, Yichalek Shalom, in the future he will divide portions, spoils, V'nachala B'soch B'nei Yishol Shenemar, V'hoya Shevet Asher Gor Hager. There in Yiches refers to the Gerim which come, they will also be given a portion in the land. The Gerim will also be given a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Chazal said that Gerim, there are many interpretations, that Gerim are a sapachas for Klal Yisrael. They are an eyesore. They're a scab. And what does that mean? There are many interpretations, but many put a very positive twist, is that they are so sincere. They are so sincere, they are so religious, everything is so choshev in their eyes, they make the from birth people look bad. And I know these type of situations. I know, and the fact is that's part of the rule today. The Bezdin and Eretz Yisrael Geirus, they're very tough. To get a Geirus, there are many different types of Geirus that are available for people who want to convert. And if you want a high level Geirus where there should be no problem, they basically have to makabel upon yourself that you'll be from the Neturi Karta without all the Meshagasim. Meaning you have to be an extremist almost. To be nizer in every makabel upon yourself, every little chumrah which the average person cannot possibly do. And so it's not fair. How could you make demands of a ger? To he has to promise he's not going to ever watch television. He's not going to go to the movies. He's going to cover his hair, and he's gonna be nizer and shmir asenayim to the extreme, and daven three times a day with a minyan, and be nizer and chol of Yisrael and pas Yisrael. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? This description, this long laundry list, I know a ger like this. This is what they told him. I'm not joking. I know a ger who's succeeding, and this long laundry list, and this they don't want to do. The ger is they have to come and learn every night for a year. You have to come to a yeshiva, have a charusa every single night, night seder to show you really mean. You have to sit and learn every single night the charusa. This long laundry list. There's not even one person I know, including all the biggest Rosh Yeshiva, that can do it. So what's going on? What is this all about? What is this? This doesn't make sense in history. Is this the way it was historically, going back all the years? Definitely not. No. Definitely not. To be a ger, you just don't ask questions. You want to be Jewish. You want to be Shomer Shabbos. The less you ask, the better. I'm a Kabbal, I'm sincere. Then when you become a ger, you find out, oh my gosh, there's all you have to do this and this and this and this. All right, so you do the best that you can do. No one's perfect. No. But today, they're very tough. Because today, it's a very tough world. And what is the answer? The answer is, they don't really mean it. I know this for a fact. They don't really mean it. They don't really demand. They just want you to be sincere. So they try to discourage. They just try to test your sincerity.
If you agree to all the conditions, they know you're not sincere.
No, they are very sincere. That's the thing. The thing is that they are really sincere. That's what's funny. These people, they are really sincere. It's unrealistic. Unrealistic, these things. You know what I'm saying is true. Okay, you know what I'm saying is 100%. Okay, it's, so I know someone that became a ger, and my father was involved with this person. This person was starting out, and he went from one bez, and he realized he wanted the real thing. There are different options, but you know, if you go for a gerist that's not 100%, you're going to have problems down the line. If you don't really get from a bez, and that's accepted 100%. So he went to the top. And I'm not talking Meshigasim. I just said a joke when I said the Turi Karat. No one laughed. We went to a very chashuv bez, and they really gave him a very, very hard time. They demanded an enormous amount from him. And then finally, when it came time for the gerus, they set him up with Rav Herschel Schachter and Rabbi Ram, who was the third dayan. The third dayan, I don't know. And he came for his final interview. And he told me that he thought, who knows what they're going to ask him. And this already after a long preparation process. This guy is much more religious.
Lives a firm yid for a year.
Similar year.
And at least a year before.
This guy is way, way over me, way more religious than me. I can't keep up with him. With all the chumras and things that he does. Over my head. Okay, but he thought now he's going to come for the gerus. Who knows what they're going to ask him? They're going to ask him to be a baki and shas and poiskin. Who knows? They're going to ask him to keep the eggers, tzais, and the sivis, and all the chumras. And Rav Herschel Schachter says to him, tell me, when you eat bread, do you wash? Yeah. Do you bench? Yeah. Do you make brachas? Yes. Okay, good enough. Good enough for me. You're good enough for me. Let's proceed. That's all he wanted to hear. Rav Herschel had a lot of background. He knew the case. My father filled him in. My father, but he asked him, "Do you make brachas? Do you bench? Do you wash? You want to be a yid? Good enough. All ready to go. No problems." And he told him, "This person, after what he's been through, you can really say the abuse, if you want to really use that term, all the abuse that he's gone through to get to this stage." He's telling you true, real stories. I'm not making this stuff up. He was shocked, shell shocked. That's it? That's the whole bechina? Do I wash? Do I bench? He does a lot more than that. Believe me, I told you, I can't keep up with it. But again, because today, unfortunately, we all know there are a lot of horror stories. And when there's one horror story can ruin it for everyone. So
I know someone told me for the NCSY out of town, when they invite someone for Kiruv, they wouldn't invite him to something like a learning session. They would invite him like for bowling and pizza first, just to see
like
normal people also, and then slowly they say, okay,
they will make you into an extremist. Fundamental.
Like, oh, we also learn, you know, Daven and something.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
My father handled one particular case, a woman from Australia.
Yeah.
He worked with her. The rabbanim sent her to him, and he learned with her for a year. She was going to get married to a Jew, and this Jew was makbid. Nah, he didn't want to marry a shiksa. And the end result was she converted. She worked with her a long time, And then I said that my father was laughing one time, and I said, what happened? He said, she didn't get married to him because she felt he was a bum anyhow. In other words, the end was result was, he was
coming up. You see, exactly. Exactly, that's true. It's really spooky.
The automata had the speaker who does the the Bialsk is true.
By Ram. By Ram, yes. Yeah. Maybe we should get him.
He was very interesting. He was very, very interesting.
Maybe we should get him to come here, by Ram. Yeah. He was on the...
It was very often then. The one who converts is more religious and doesn't
want absolutely. That's what it says. It says here in this part of the Chazal, so they are sapachas. They're an eyesore because they're so good. Why are you so good? You're a newcomer. We've been around for 2,000 years. All of a sudden, there's a newcomer and he's so much better than us. That's what's very, that's very sad.
I had a drug rep comes to sell you.
Yeah.
She was Filipino and she was married to a Jewish guy. She converted. The Jewish guy was not from. So she says to me, I'm more religious than my husband. I want to send the kid to yeshiva.
This is very, very common.
Oh, yeah.
This is what it says. This is exactly what it says in the pasuk. The Evan Maskil Yimshol Beben Bevish. If we had to renew, you know, a lot of things you have to renew your license. You have to go, doctors have to take exams every so often. It depends what the profession you're in. You have to be recertified. If we had to be recertified as Orthodox Jews with the same standard that they give Gerim, I can't speak for you, but I wouldn't make it.
You can imagine.
I wouldn't make it.
How much they would charge for the test?
Oh, it'd be a good business. But it's Baruch Hashem, we don't have to be recertified.
Stanley Kaplan.
There's no recertification. Eved Maskil Yimshel Ben Mevish V'Sechachim Michal. That's Rashi's second interpretation. We have first of Nebuchadnezzar, then we have the concept of Gerim Gerim Asapachas Lisrael. Now we come to a beautiful Medrash. The Medrash says, who is the Eved Maskil? Think in the Torah. For all the people in the Torah were called Avadim, which one is the ultimate Eved? No, not okay, very good, Moshe. But Moshe was the real. It was the real deal. Eved Hashem. Well, that was the Hesped. Eved Hashem. But who else? Second guess. Eliezer. Eliezer was the Eved Avram. Eliezer, in fact, wanted to be Meshanech with Avram, and Avram said to him some very harsh words. Ata Orur. Va'ani Baruch, va'ani Baruch va'ata Arur, v'ein Arur medabeg bibaruch. I am blessed, and you, Eliezer, my loyal servant, you are cursed. You're a cursed person. You're a slave, and we don't go together. Shocking, but Yechazal say ultimately he was taken out of the status of Arur when Lavan said to Eliezer, Bo Biruch Hashem. Come into my house. Come, the blessed of Hashem. Chazal said that at that moment in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted Eliezer from the status of Orur to a status of Baruch. Why? Because now the Shrich was already a done deal. Once it wasn't Ogea anymore, Eliezer already met Rivka. So Rivka already was, that was it. It was already set to go. So it's not Ogea anymore. Eliezer, well, that's the thing. He seemingly, that's a very good question. Some want to say that he became Og Melech HaBashan. How many Og Melech HaBashans were there? There could be a few of them. Because at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu later on, there was another Og. It was the same Og. He lived very long. Alright, these are all bizarre. These are all very, very bizarre things about Og. But he was in that part of that family. But this Medrash shockingly says this Eliezer. And what does it mean here that he was Moshel, he was a Yimshel Bebein? Because Yitzchok's life was in the hands of Eliezer. He was Moshel. Yitzchok is an Oyla Tzmima, he's in Koyel. And this Eliezer, who is an Eved, is going out to the world to find a Shulch. Who knows who will bring back? You don't know what's going to happen. The responsibility is so awesome. It's called here in this pasuk Yimshel Bevein Mevish. And why do we call him a Bein Mevish? That seems to be a very derogatory statement. That Yitzchak is called a shameful child. Yitzchak is a Bein Mevish. So the Medrash has a positive twist. He, by offering himself as a carbon on the Akedah, put shame to the entire world. The whole world wasn't willing to go to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the point where they're willing to offer themselves up as human sacrifices. So that's what the Medrash says. And even though Hashem rejects human sacrifice, that's an old question, but that's why he's called Nevesh Shebiyish Eskol Umoy So'olam Bishah Shenekad Al Gabi HaMizbeach. When he allowed himself to be sacrificed on the Mizbeach, he showed the world that he really means it. He is sincere in his service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the world was not on his level. They felt shame. Why can't we be like Yitzchak? And what was the rule? The rule was, he was a Moshel. Eliezer, the Eved Maskil, was a Moshel in that he went and searched for a Shidduch. And what then does it mean? B'soich achim yichalek nachala. So this is an amazing thing. This is an amazing, amazing thing here, that Eliezer, even though it doesn't say here in this Medrash that he became part of Klal Yisrael, doesn't say that, but when he went to the well, he was mispalel. I'm here at the well, Hashem, I need some help. And Ribbono Shel Olam, I need help in the Zuchus of Avram Avinu. Vayomer Hashem Elokei, the God, Adoni Avraham, Asei Chesed Im Adoni Avraham. This ability to invoke Zuchus Avos, Zuchus Avos, is only for us. Who has the koyach? You ever see a guy going around and saying, "Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov"? He's not their God. I mean, the Muslims, what do? They also probably, anyway, they say. Okay, but it's not, it doesn't have meaning, because it's not in halacha. Chazal don't consider, Yishmael was rejected. It was Yitzki b'ki b'yitzchak yikari l'chazara. So they can do whatever they want to do, but it's not, it doesn't have any weight. But Eliezer was the exception. Shocking. Eliezer was the exception. He was able to say, "Elokei Adoni Avraham." He invoked the Zuchus Avos. Only children can invoke the Zuchus Avos. We Klal Yisrael. And yet the Pasuk says, Eliezer was a Shutif. He was with this Pasuk, Uvisoch Achim Yichalek Yichalek Nachala. And we learned Derech Agav, another very fascinating Yisod. The ultimate Nachala you have, and that's coming up to the next Pasuk in a few later on, is the Zuchus Avos. It's not the money, it's not the kavod, it's the zuchus, this that you can say, "I'm an enikel of so-and-so," that's the nachala. And in their zuchus, I want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help me. I need assistance. Eliezer can do that together with Klal Yisrael. Fascinating medrash. Okay, let's go now. There's another person another medrash, we'll summarize this in a few moments. Another individual, and that is Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah was the Eved Maskil. Why was he called the Eved Maskil? Because he, I don't know, it doesn't say why, where is this medrash? This is the medrash in Pesikta Rav Kahana. It's also the Yalkut Shmoni over here, Yalkut Shmoni as well. But Dabrach Rabbi Yeshua this Sichnin B'Shem Rabbi Levi Pasach Eved Maskil Yim Shal Bein Mevish Shubisuch Achim Yach Nachla Eved Maskil Zay Yirmiyah Hanavi. Okay, why is he an Eved? I don't know why. Doesn't say why. You have a Pasach, they call him an Eved. He's a servant. He was a loyal servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is the Bein Mevish? Klal Yisrael, the sinful children during the time of the Chorban. Yirmiyah lived during the time of the Chorban. He was the one that gave Musar.
Because everybody else was doing the other thing, so that makes him the
Maskil. And they were doing over the Zohar. What is Rabbi Yehoshua Achim Yach Nachla? It means he will divide spoils. Litain Lito Mechelkoi Yotza. He was Yachlech. Wait, one more time. Yach Nachla. Vayetze Yirmiyahu mi Yerushalayim loleches Eretz Binyamin lachloik misham. Okay, I'm not sure the end of the pasuk. I'll leave that. I'm unprepared this well. He went out of Eretz Yisrael. It says there in Yirmiyah he went out to divide. Part of his mission was to go and to leave Yerushalayim, to go to a different part of Eretz Yisrael, to divide, to separate a piece of land for himself. Okay, I'm not sure what that means. But he was another individual that we refer this to is Yirmi. Okay, that concludes this pasuk. Sach HaKol, we pretty much have four people, four different mahalchim in this pasuk. Rashi's first parish is Nebuchadnezzar, ruling over Klal Yisrael, and he went and he took Eretz Yisrael for himself. Second parish, we're referring to Gerim, Gerei Tzedek, they put us to shame, and they will merit a portion in the land in the time of Mashiach, as it says in Sefer Yecheskel. The third parish, referring to Eliezer Eved Avram, he was Moishel over Yitzchak. Here, Mavish is interpreted in the positive sense. He put the world to shame by participating in the Akedah. And Yechalek Shal Nachala means he has the koyach to invoke Zuchus Avos. And the fourth parish is Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu is the Eved Maskil. He saw the light. He was Moishel over Klal Yisrael, who were worshipping over the Zohar, who were called in this pasuk the Bain Mavish. Let's go to Pasuk Gimel. Matzreif lakesef v'chur lazahav uvoichin libos Hashem. I never knew this until yesterday, that the word matzreif and the word kur are different types of ovens. Okay, and we know a kur is a type of oven, but a matzreif is a different type of oven. The word matzreif is exclusively used to refine silver. A kur is a kiln which is used specifically to refine gold. Now, I don't know why, how this works, but you need different types of ovens for different types of metals. An oven that's used for gold is not going to work for an oven made for silver. And what's used for silver is not going to work for gold. So we have a matzreif. An oven called the matzreif lakesef is used to refine, to remove the impurities of silver. The chur, the oven called the kur, is used lazahav. And likewise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the oven that is boichein libois Hashem, who inspects the heart of man. And this can mean, we'll see in the farshim, means and that Rachman Litzlan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bring upon a person yisurim or nisyonos. And through the Yisur of the Nisyonos, a person is challenged. And by being challenged, he is refined. He becomes a better, a purer person in this world. So it's equivalent to the Kesef and the Zav. Yeah. So there it's used for Barzel. The core of there was also used for Barzel.
Made of
Barzel, okay.
That refined our character, so to speak.
Okay, right, correct. In preparation, let's see over here.
The handle of more intense heat.
The core, l'chora. The you need for the gold, you need more. Okay, let's see over here. The mitzvahs pas the gimel hakesef yazav silver and gold. Kasher mi yirtze ledas kama yesh b'chem min hasig. If you want to know if there is impurities, yikach mimenu b'mishkol yidua. You take this piece chunk of this bar of silver, bar of gold, v'yosimu b'kor, and you put it in the core. The core is the oven that's used for the gold. The hasig yisoreif, and the impurities evaporate; they are burnt away. The nishar hakesef yazav naki, and the silver and the gold remain pure naki uvezen. Through this method, yivchan hakol, everything is tested. Avaliba is bnei adam, yivchanim Hashem hatoiva. He imro Hashem will test them if the heart is good or the heart is evil. Okay, so two different times. Look at the mitzudos sion. The matshei for kori makes it very clear. Shemois hakelim asher yatichu b'chem azav hakesef. These are the names of ovens, of furnaces in which you melt gold and silver. Rashi, matshef hakesef kli shetzofim by kesef vois meso me'ofar nikla. You make this oven from ash al gabi cheres kori mashiv. Just describing us how you make this oven. It's made from efer mikla ash on top of cheres. It's called the matshef, and that is used specifically for silver. And then you have the gold. You have the core. Next Rashi, the core lazov ikli kli shetzofim boyes hazov kli shezaykikin boyes hazov. You purify gold. Kimo kidera shavura kuya kor. What is a kor? A kor is a broken pot. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what the deeper meaning over here is. Kedera is made usually from cheres. It's unlike the matshef that's made from ash and cheres. This is purely made from a kedera. He matshef la kesef v'kur lazav hamatshef also l'tzref kesef. The matshef is made to purify silver l'malachdoi v'chein akur l'zakek hazahav aval halavavais. When it comes to refine, to purify the hearts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu zoykekon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu purifies them. How does he purify them? U'boichanon, he tests them, the yodeya mach Machshavos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows a person's Machshavos on their thoughts. Now there's a deeper meaning here in this pasuk before we go to the Medrash, and we all know that Kesef and Zav represent Rachamim and Din. Kesef in rabbinic literature is always a mashal, a symbol for love. Kesef comes from the Aramaic word kisufin, yearning, a heart that's yearning to come close to someone. Zohav is din, distance, harshness, fear. Sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to have a greater ahav, a greater love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to test a person's love. Do you really love me? Or you love something more than me? I'll give you a choice. What's more valuable? Where do you have more love? And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to test the person, to refine the person's yira, fear for a person. So that's why these two items are being mentioned in connection to Boichin Libayis Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he tests the person's yira, and he tests the person's ahava. And there are different tools, different techniques. Just like you need a matzreif in order to test, to purify silver, so too there are different types of nisyonas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings upon a person to test his ahava, his love. And just like there's a special oven that's used to refine gold, which represents the yira, so too there are different types of nisyonas Hashem brings upon a person to test his yira. But it's in a deeper level, deeper chiddush, that in this world you can't mix and match. If you want to test gold, you have one oven. You want to test silver, you have another silver. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu can refine a person alone. His tools, his techniques are so complex, are so advanced, that one nisayon can refine both a person's ahava and yira simultaneously. They go together. There may be a matzreif lakesef and a kor lazav, but when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu can synthesize, can bring the two together, can purify a person with one test, with one nisayon. Uvoichein libois Hashem. Hashem is one. It's echad, is one, and one act, one expression can purify both a person's mid of ahava and yira bivasachas. Okay, there's one medrash. You've all heard this at some point in time. The medrash says, "Amar Rav lo nitnu mitzvos ela litzreif bohen es Yisrael." I told you events. People have difficulties in life. They have nisyonos, but you don't have to come on to nisyonos. Every mitzvah, every single mitzvah in and of itself, deep in the mitzvah, when a person perfects, is sholim in the mitzvah, that itself is a purification of a person's midos. Lo nitnu mitzvos ela litzreif bohen es Yisrael. Mo hatzerf hazeh machnes hazav lekor u'misanenoi. Just like this oven called the tzerif, you bring into it gold and it's interesting, the medrash over here, he mixes the terms. It doesn't use the right term. The matzreif, he puts the gold. I don't know why he mixes the term, but that's what it says. Matzreif, machnes azov, I made a mistake. Atzreif means the tzreif is the craftsman, the smelter. Hazeh machnes azov lakur, like it says, umisana, that means that he purifies it, pam rishayna, shnia, shlishis, second time, a third time, a fourth time, ad shehu ma'amidoi al broyoi, so to kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu miyaser es tzedikim kol lech v'yech lefi koichai. The marriage is very bizarre because it's mixing and matching. It first starts off with mitzvos, commandments, Tayag mitzvos, and then when it follows through, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is miyaser es hatzadikim. He afflicts them. That's not mitzvos. Mitzvah is not. So the medrash is very rich. It's mixing over here that there are different ways HaKadosh Baruch Hu purifies man through mitzvos and through events that happen in the world. Okay, next pasuk. Pasuk Dalet Neira Makshiv al Sfas. Al-Sas Oven, a Mera is a noun. An individual who is evil. A Mera, there are different translations for the word. It's a very hard word. There are different interpretations. But we will learn now at the moment. It means an evildoer. A Mera. An evildoer, Rasha. He's makshiv al-sfas oven. He's always listening to evil talk. He loves it. There's always gossip, evil chatter. This is what he, makshav is a very powerful word. It means to hearken. It doesn't just mean to listen. You have to have the best sound system that money can buy, so you don't miss a nuance. Just like when it comes to music, stereo, home theater, you have to hear it well. Go to a wedding, they have to go deaf. you have to go deaf.
Does it mean maybe a person who causes evil?
No, Mera here, they translate it as an Ishra. Rashi also says, it makes a point.
Then it should say just a Russia.
Okay, so why? Mera. Mera. Okay, let's see, we'll see. And Sheker. Now, Sheker here is used, if I'm not mistaken, it's also used in a very unusual way. Sheker here is the name of an individual. A person whose essence is a lie. Sheker is the name of a human being. Like there's a Mera. There's a person whose essence is Sheker. A Sheker, a person who is Sheker, Mezin, same thing as Makshiv, he listens carefully al Lashon Havos on destructive speech. Mitzudas, Pasuk Dalid, Meira Ishra, Makshiv Lashmaya Dovar Oven, he listens carefully to hear sinful talk. The Sheker, and this Sheker, okay, so he's saying it different than Rashi. Okay, so Rashi, I'm going to notice this. Ishra makshiv l'shmaya dvar ovon vishek. So he's putting over the word vishekher, he's combining it. No, is he? Mezin al-lashon is going back. Al-sfas oven sheker. It seems that the Mitsudos is connecting the word sheker to the word sfas oven. A mera, he listens to sfas oven and sheker. You have to have a make-believe off. And then the pasuk elaborates. He also is meshiv, mezin al lashon havos. He also listens carefully to destructive talk. And the chayin behapuch ki ish shakron, or maybe not, maybe he's saying over the word, ki v'chayin behapuch v'chayin behipuch ki b'ish shakron, mezin l'shmoya l'shoyin havos. He listens to destructive talk, l'shbar b'nei adam, ulehira lohem, to destroy them. Ratzolaymar, achuv mihem zel zev lo yispardu. These two people, they love each other. Okay, I think what he's trying to say is that there are two different types of evildoers. There is the Meira, and there is the Sheker. The Meira really fits with Lashon Havos. And the Sheker really fits with Sfas Oven. I think that's what the Mitzvah is trying to say. Ramchol, is that correct? There are two different types that you would expect the Pasuk to say as follows. A Meira, Makshiv, or Meira, Mezin al Lashon Havos. Because the Meira is a person who wants to destroy the world. An evil person wants to see people's destruction. Havos means destruction. So you would expect that the Meira would stick to his profession and listen to chatter that is destructive, and the Sheker, the individual who is a Rasha, who is a Sheker lawyer, would listen al Sfas Oven. Sfas Oven means lies. Lips that speak deceit, which is lies. The Pasuk is telling us a Chiddush, that you're not satisfied with what you have. Mi sheyesh lemoneh reitzeh mosayin. If you are a Shakron, I've already conquered that field. Let me go for the next level, what I don't have. Take a course in destructive, in the Lashon Havos. And the person who has mastered Sheker, I already know what Sfas Oven is. Let me now go to something that I don't have and focus on Lashon Havos. So that's what the puzzle here is, mixing and matching these two different types of people. The Meira and the Sheker. It's telling us the Meira is not satisfied with Lashon Havos. The Meira wants to listen to Makshiv al Sfas Oven, lies. And the Sheker, the person who's Mole Sheker, he is not satisfied with Sfas Oven. He has to go listen to amazing to listen al Lashon Havos. Let's listen to this again one more time quickly. Meira Ishra Makshiv Lashmo Devar Oven, the Sheker. The Meira listens to Oven the Sheker, V'chein Behipuch, the other way around. Shakron, Mezim Lashmoya Lashon Havos, destructive Lashon, Lishbar B'nei Adam, to destroy people, Ulahar Lohem, Berot Zolaymar. These two individuals, they're the best of friends, and they share what each one does not have. What you have, give to me. What I have, I'll give to you. Berot Zolaymar, Ahuvim Himo Lezel Lezel, V'lo Yisparadu, and they don't separate one from another. Rashi, Pasik Dalid, Meira Rasha, Makshav al Sfas Oven, Sheker, Mekabel Lashon Hara Ve'edi Sheker, he listens to the words of Oven, Sheker, false of Lashon Hara, and he's Mekabel Edi Sheker. Mezin, Mezin, Mishahu, this individual listens, Mishmish Sheker, Mazin al Lashon Havos, and he listens to words of destruction. The Mazin Mishahu Mishaker, this person who is from the world of Sheker, Mazin al Lashon Havos, he listens to words of destruction. Seemingly the same idea as Rashi. Okay, let's go quickly to the Pasuk. This is a very, very famous Pasuk. I will hear a very nice word from the Sefer Das. Divrei Chachamim, really good word. Divrei Chachamim, and then this pasuk: Loig l'rosh cheref yseyu, sameach le'ed lo yinoke. A person who is a max the poor, he is being mevorech. Cheref means to curse, to blaspheme. Cheref yseyu, but we use the word mevorech in the euphemism. And the root means cheref means to blaspheme. Yseyu his creator, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So Oseh means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a comma. And then the next part of the pasuk is seemingly unrelated. It's a different idea. Someach le'ed, a person who takes delight, he rejoices in destruction, in misfortune. Aid means a tragedy. A tragedy. A person who rejoices in other people's tragedies, lo yinokeh, he will not be innocent. His day of reckoning will come, even though he has not done anything. He has not lifted a finger, a pinky. It does not matter. Just having simcha in someone else's tragedy, lo yinokeh, will not be innocent. He will suffer when the time comes for him.
There is a connection there, being poor and...
You're mocking the poor. You're mocking Yekin Echanami. You're mocking... It's the same idea. It's the same idea. It's similar. Loig is more of a higher level. It's to mock. Sameach just means you're not mocking. You're smug. I'm happy that it happened. Good, he got finally what he deserved. He got what he deserved. So that's not a nice thing. Okay, let's see the pasuk. The Mesudas pasuk. Hey, loyig l'rosh cheref yseyu ki bil ogoy. When a person mocks a poor person, haha, you're poor. Look at you, good for nothing. I'm a wealthy man. You don't have what to eat. Bilago kilu yomar, as if you're saying shulchesorin daitayi heoni. It's due to your poverty. It's due to your lack of intelligence. That's why you are poor. V'loy Hashem pol kozos. It's not because Hashem. We all know v'loy lachachomim lechem. Some of the widest and the greatest, brilliant, most brilliant minds don't have what to eat. And even though they're not in kollel, they're trying very hard to make parnasa. Not everyone that's a chacham is successful. It's me Hashem yasa. So a person that says the reason why the person is poor is because the person is due to his intelligence. He has to realize that it's not so. Parnasa comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's cherif oseyu. Samech leid hasamech al takolas chaderoi lo yinake. Yeah. Right, that
poverty is the denial.
Is the cherif yseyu?
That's the blasphemy.
The loig l'rosh, the fact that you're mocking him, you're telling him that it's your fault that you're poor. That is, of course, everything has to be balanced because there are people that have no one to blame but themselves. Of course, that goes without saying. We're talking about people who, we're not talking about those situations. We're talking about a person that al derech hateva, he has done everything that he should have done, and is motivated, and he's just not matzliach. He's not matzliach. It's not his fault. For a person to say, loig l'rosh, you should have done this, why did you major in this, you should have majored in that, why did you go take this job, why did you make this decision, why did you do that? It's because you're good for nothing. It's because you made foolish decisions. And when the person's decisions are really no different than the rest of the world, to say that's a cherif, I say you're not just insulting the person, you're insulting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he controls the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants success to people that he chooses, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants to people who are failures, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings them all the way to the top, and people that are have everything going for them not always are successful. So it's a denial of the Hashkocha Pratis to hold the person accountable when he does not succeed.
So what if you say the person seems your poor position, which...
No, that's a terrible insult. No, you know, of course, that's the partially the Dvarim Pshutim. You don't even tell this. Of course, you don't let us say that.
Why not?
Because...
You don't know why.
We don't know why. We don't live in a world where we know why.
Oh, yeah, just now. Aaron, didn't we just learn that?
We don't know how Kadosh Baruch Hu runs his world. How Kadosh Baruch Hu runs his world in the way he wants. We do our shtadlus, we do the best that you can, and it's not to look down on anyone. I'm running out of time. Well, maybe we'll come back. I just want to come back to one point of art. I want to leave over with one of art. Okay, the Rashi concludes this last mitzudos. I want to tell you one quick thing. And this is very, very scary mitzvah. That a person has rejoice over a person's tragedy, lo yinakeh, meaning the same tragedy will come upon him. Doesn't say that in the pasuk. Okay, it doesn't say that in the pasuk. The mitzvah is adding that into the pasuk, lo yinakeh. Maybe feels what lo yinakeh has that connotation.
He will not escape.
He'll not say from that tragedy.
It doesn't mean the exact same tragedy.
Look what it says.
No, it just says
lo yinake min hatakola hahi.
No.
Same tragedy it says. Hatakola hahi. I don't know what else to say here in the mitzvahs. Kisavei gamalof. It doesn't say that in the pasuk. You're right. I agree with you. It doesn't say in the pasuk. The mitzvahs over here is adding a lot more to the pasuk than it actually says. Okay, maybe we'll come back to that point. So that part I just want to mention one quick thing. This pasuk is used in reference to the dead. Everyone knows this. Loig l'rosh. Everyone knows you go into the cemetery. You should not wearing your tzitzis out. Loig l'rosh chefoser. Now the truth is, I'm not even sure the Gemara talks bedavka about tzitzis. The main thing, there are three major mamori chazal. And there's a very powerful musa, a very powerful message in these three mamori chazal about loig l'rosh. Let me read you the words inside. The first mamori chazal. Most popular man chazal is Tanya, a Gemara Masech the Brachos, Taf Yud Ches, everyone knows this. Lo yahalich adam beveis hakvaros utfilin bereishai. From all the different mitzvahs that you can do in front of the dead, in front of a grave, is don't wear tefillin. The Gemara does not here at least illustrate tzitzis. We all put your tzitzis in. Tefillin! Don't wear your tefillin.
Tefillin has to be outside.
Oh, right, tzitzis can be inside. But the Gemara illustrates it with tefillin. Tefillin b'roishai, v'sefer Torah b'zroyai, and a sefer Torah on your arm. The koirei boy, and you're reading the sefer Torah, you're in there, nothing better to do. To go to the Beis HaKvaros, palace of tefillin, with your tefillin, and a sefer Torah, and you open up Hagba on top of the keder. Right? Don't do this. Don't try this at home. Don't try this in your local cemetery. Why? If you mock the poor, who is the ultimate poor creature in this world? The dead. Because the dead cannot do mitzvos. They're helpless. They're destitute from mitzvos. You're mocking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not take this lightly. It is an insult to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take advantage of the vulnerable, of the poor, of the meek, and the humble. Okay, that chazal number one. Chazal number two. This is another very famous chazal, Omar Ruchava, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Kol Roya Hanes. If you see the dead, the Ein Milaveu, if you see a dead, you see a funeral procession, and you don't escort the dead at least, Dal Ravas, Allah, it's a good thing. You see a funeral procession, you should walk, Dal Ravas. The Ein Milaveu, Oiver Mishum Loyeg Lerosh Cherif Oseil. Don't be indifferent. You see a dead, they're escorting the dead, walk with the dead body for hours to show you respect for the dead. It's not for nothing that there are laws in New York City that if you turn on the blinkers right at the funeral procession, you can go through red lights. Yeah. You can go through red lights and you can
roll the risk.
That's the rules. So it's not for nothing. It really, where does that come from? Where does that come from? It comes from this Gemara. You have no choice but to say, you know, a lot of American society is built on a lot of Jews, a lot of Jewish blood that went into the foundation of this country, and it comes from Mamash. It has to come from this. This concept comes from Mimlav and the Mace. The laws are suspended. Next Chazal, the third. I think this is the third most of the Chazal. You see, Yerushalmi. This not everyone knows about it because it's so posh and it's so shocking. We don't learn Daf Yomi Yerushalmi, not at least yet. But what does it say in that Yerushalmi? Rabbi Zira b'shem Rabbi Abba Abar Yem Lo Yikones Hamos Hakvaris V'yaset Surachav Shan. Okay, excuse the expression. Don't urinate on a grave. Okay, that's what it says. Don't urinate on a grave. If a person urinates on a grave, then all of our costs of Oimer Loyeg Lerosh Cheref Osei. three Mamari Chazal dealing with the dead, all coming back to the same pasuk. Look, what is the deeper meaning of this pasuk? It's telling us a very powerful Musar Haskell, the big picture of how to deal with the dead. There are three responses one can have with the dead. One is, the dead, let me glorify myself. Wearing tefillin means you're putting on a crown. There's no greater self-glorification in this world than wearing tefillin and having a Sefer Torah in your arm and walking with the Sefer Torah. This is the ultimate glorification. Don't mock the dead by glorifying yourself at its expense. Second lesson, other extreme. Don't be mevaza the dead. Don't urinate on the dead. Don't say, listen, the body is bad. The neshama left in the shemayim. All that stuff is the guf. What is the cemetery ready? Well, there, I'm sure there are religions. Doesn't mean anything in the dead body. Don't be mevaza the dead. And the third lesson is, don't be, those are the extremes. Don't glorify yourself at the expense of the dead. Don't be mevaza the dead. Two extremes. But there's a third lesson. Don't be indifferent. Don't be in the middle either. Don't see the dead. The dead is the dead. And here I'm alive. You have your domain. That's a cemetery. And I'm over here. There's a fence between us. No. You have to also be mevakesh the dead. You have to be melave the dead. You have to escort the dead. Three yesoidais. These are not just some three random mamari chazal. These three mamari chazal encompass the entire picture of how one has to relate to those who have left us. At least their bodies, the guf, to the cemetery. Don't glorify yourself at their expense. Don't be mevaza them, and don't be even indifferent. You have to be malav. You have to escort them. L'mayin afkamina. Besides l'afkamina, talk about Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a guf. B'li neshama, without the Beis HaMikdash. There used to be a Beis HaMikdash. There was the Shechina, was Shoira on the Har HaBayis, in the Beis HaMikdash. It was a living organism. The Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, the whole Eretz Yisrael. With the Chor Beis HaMikdash, what is Eretz Yisrael? To some degree, Eretz Yisrael is like the Guf B'li neshama. Eretz Yisrael, to some degree, is like a Beis HaKvaris, to some degree. The neshama is in Shemayim, and the Guf, the Beis HaMikdash, is rubble. The Har HaBayis, the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, and we're waiting for Tchiyas HaMeisim. How do we relate to Eretz Yisrael? First thing is, don't glorify yourself at the expense of Eretz Yisrael. Don't make your life good in America, in every country. Do something, engage in some activity in Chutz Li'aretz that will cause harm, or to glorify yourself on the harm to cause, to glorify yourself at the expense of a Eretz Yisrael. To wear your tefillin and walk around the whole world when there's an Eretz Yisrael, it's not important. The second leaving was, don't be mevaza Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is not a place. Don't go and do things that are harmful to Eretz Yisrael. And the third thing is, tzion ein doyresh aysa. Mikan she tzricha drisha. Chazal tell us you have to be doyresh Eretz Yisrael. You have to be melana Eretz Yisrael. You have to seek the welfare of Eretz Yisrael. These three concepts is true for the prat and for the klal. The prat of a mace prati, and for the klal, for the kedushas Eretz Yisrael, which is waiting for the neshama of the klal Yisrael to return to Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we'll stop over here.